This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 182. Bandalicious takes on all comers.
I wasn't going to say that.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Pro gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of our podcast.
I hope all you guys are warm and snuggly, because it's fucking cold.
It's a little tit-nipply on the East Coast right now. Snow's falling.
That's what.
And I did, as a matter of fact, just say
make
that.
It snow! Oh my god, that'd be so inappropriate.
And you get snow, but you don't get snow.
Fuck you, Middle East.
But you know who you should not say fuck you to?
Our website.
Most awkward transition ever. Make sure that you're hitting us up on the website. I know what you meant, but we're not giving you a chance to redeem yourself. At www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. Do you have any questions about those
articles? You can hit us up.
You can email us at questions@esh.movie. If you are listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine.
You can also check out some of the really entertaining shows coming from the ESH camp. For instance, we've got, hosted by our very own King Baby Duck, the Boston Bass Brigade. They come out with new episodes every Tuesday. Look, if you're going to keep laughing, go in the corner so you can get it out of your
system. My chest hurts.
Just breathe. But make sure that you check out the Boston Bastard Brigade, bostonbastardbrigade.com. Their new episodes come out every single Tuesday. We love those bastards and wenches, so make sure that you support them. Then, on Wednesday, to cover you through, get you all the way to the hump day, there's Geek Agra, hosted by our very own Deuces Wild, who is the man. So you need to make sure that you're checking out Geek Agro. And then to get you through the rest of the week, well, we've got all the stuff that Panda talked about, like the things that we write on the website. You can shoot us questions. We try to answer them whenever they come in. Sometimes we'll just answer you back directly.
Check our Facebook group. If you put a question on the wall of the Facebook group and I see it and I like it, I will read it on the air.
That's right. So you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Electric Sisterhood. You can't miss us. There's a few fans. We also now have, in addition to our Twitter accounts.
And our awesomeness.
Yeah. I can be found at twitter.com/NinjaSista.
And I'm twitter.com/LadyEsh.
Find King Baby Duck at twitter.com/King_Baby_Duck. Deuces Wild at twitter.com/DeucesWild. And Vicious Smith, a boy, at twitter.com/ViciousSmith. But we also, like she said, have the Facebook page. And then we added a couple more avenues to get stuff to use and use to get stuff to us.
And you get new stuff and you get new stuff. And not you, dude. You do not get any new stuff.
No.
But you can look at everybody else's new stuff.
Yes, and be envious.
Yep.
We also have a new Flickr account. So you can find us at flickr.com/electricsisterhood. We're going to start putting up a lot of our pictures there, both when we go to events like PAX East, which is coming up very shortly, as well as E3. And who knows, we might be able to work in a Comic-Con here or there. We're going to find those images over there, as well as whenever we do some hands-on reviews, shots of those things. I mean, because let's face it, high-res shots are really pretty, but everybody on the internet has those. You want the nitty-gritty shots, the shots we take really poorly with our own cameras. We know what you like.
What the hell are you talking about?
On our Flickr page. And then
gritty pictures.
Top it off, hey, I know how to market to our people, is all I'm saying. Okay. And then on top of that, we also now have a YouTube channel. So there's going to be videos popping up. As a matter of fact, as I speak these words to you in the microphone, there's already a video done by our very own lovely Pandalicious.
Yeah, that's me.
Our YouTube channel, so we can be found at youtube.com/electricsisterhood. There are going to be more videos posted by crew members up there on the site, so make sure that you check out the page. If you like it, comment, favorite, plug it, tweet it, whatever you want to do with it. Just make sure that it's legal.
Yeah, and make sure it's consensual.
Always make sure that it's legally consensual. Those are words to live by.
Yes.
So with that, let's get down to our nitty gritty. Games, gadgets, and anime. I have no anime this week, but I will have anime next week because I've been watching some stuff.
No anime here.
Not this week because there's pretty much a bunch of shit to talk about on the game front as well as the gadget front.
Go, go, gadget!
Something gadget? Other. Yeah, let's talk. Let's get this one out of the way.
Yeah, okay.
Because I don't think there's anybody that has any kind of review, website, podcast, TV show, porch, water cooler that hasn't talked about this thing. So we're going to talk about it too, because we want to be like everybody else, kind of, sort of, like deep down, but we try to outwardly project that we don't want to, but we totally do want to be.
Yeah, in fact, we were discussing it over fire smoke signals.
We did, actually, because the internet went down for a while, and it's bad when the internet goes down.
Yeah, but I wanted to play with fire.
Yeah, you're a little pyro, but it's cool. It's cool. The iPad. Let's just get it out of the way so that we can get to some game stuff.
Does it have wings?
It does not have wings. It is maximized.
Is it for overnight?
It is for overnight.
Okay. Maximum protection.
I wouldn't say leaking. About maximum protection, but definitely no leaking. And it is environmentally safe. So these are all important things.
Does it make Julian fries?
No, but I'm sure that's...
Does it prevent cervical cancer?
It might.
Or cervical... It's cervical cancer.
There you go. Ovarian.
Ovarian.
Cervical.
Cervarian.
That would be a very bad cancer to get.
That's both cancers, by the way.
You are just making up shit now that is just...
I like making up words. It gives me something to do during the day.
Well, stop it. You're not very good at it. So, moving on, the iPad. If you haven't heard about it, which means you're the only person on the planet...
No, what if you're blind and deaf?
Then somebody would have, like...
Because obviously there are people in the world who are both blind and deaf, so they couldn't hear and they wouldn't see.
Somebody would open up your hand and write it using their finger.
Yeah, but then you'd be like, what the hell is that? I don't know what that is.
But and at least you would be aware that it know that it's there. And you know what?
Oh my God, they should make an iPad with Braille on it for blind people.
I'm not touching that one because I don't want to get the mail on it. Moving on, the
iPad. What? I think it'd be revolutionary.
The iPad.
And the iBraille.
Stop it.
Okay, fine.
I've been talking to people pretty much ever since the announcement. And a lot of people are just like, it's a big iPod. What the hell do I need that for? It doesn't multitask.
It's for talking to Jesus.
And it's completely not useful. I disagree.
It's for talking to Santa Christ.
I'm not going there. I completely disagree. I've watched the keynote now. I wasn't baller enough to get invited to go out to the Yerba Buena Center to sit down and watch Lord Jobs deliver his speech unto the people. But I would have liked to have been there just
Pray
because.
Pray tell, Sir Jobs.
Exactly.
Pray tell.
I lend you my ear, my liege. What do you have to speak it unto me?
Unto thee.
By the way, I fully, fully disclose that I am a hardcore Apple fan. I'm not a fan.
No, really?
Yes. So, of course, I like the device. But I like the device not because I'm an Apple fanatic, but because of some of the things I'm going to talk about here in a couple of
minutes. Because it's sexy.
It is damn sexy, though. There's no one on the planet that can't look at that thing and not say it's damn sexy. But here's the deal. Besides the unfortunate jokes that are going to come initially around the name of the device.
It's for heavy flows.
The iPad. Actually, it kind of is, but I'll let you know how that works in a second. The iPad is a gigantic iPod Touch. That's not a bad thing. Apple has sold a shitload of iPod Touches, and they're really nifty little devices. As far as on the go, you know, for the past few years, it's been one of the best little handheld devices for watching the video you want to watch, YouTube stuff, things that you get in iTunes,
porn.
Music videos, yes, even porn. I have a lot of people that keep their porn on their iPod
I would never
Touch.
Keep porn on my iPhone.
Okay, I know a lot of people that keep it on their iPod Touch to keep it off of their computers, to keep it off of their hard drives.
Yeah, and to keep it in the bathroom in between their breaks.
To keep it away from their parents finding it. It's not a bad system, okay? There are devices that have specific uses, and if they're good at those uses, then it's a good device.
Ew!
I'm just saying. Ew. I'm just saying.
I wouldn't want to soil my iPhone.
I'm not saying use it as a vibrator. Moving on!
It doesn't have
That's another company. Moving on.
The iJoy.
Stop it. No, it's called My Bod. I'll send you the email later. Moving on, however.
Why do you have that?
I got sent it because I went to CES, and they were at AEE, and I got on their list somehow.
You didn't demo this, did you, sis?
No, because I didn't go to AEE. I only went to CES.
But never mind.
Moving on.
I feel like there's something you're
Talking
not telling
about
us.
About the iPad. I keep.
Yep. Yeah.
I keep nothing from you, and you know that shit. Moving on, though. You know, when Steve was talking in the keynote, he was talking about how netbooks were supposed to be devices that were going to help people on the go browse the internet, get their email, watch videos, listen to music, and they're just not very good at that, you know, and I agree. I was looking at netbooks really hardly. Or I should say with a harsh eye while I was at CES because I was looking for one to buy. I love my MacBook Pro. My 15-inch has been my workhorse for a couple of years now. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But as far as when I'm going out to events, part of the reason why I still haven't gotten the bulk of my CES coverage up is because it wasn't very easy or practical for me to whip that thing out many times. The bag that I was carrying around with was huge, and I was carrying it a power supply because there weren't always power charging stations available that had Apple plugs, so I had to bring my own all the time with me on the floor. And so it was very difficult to deal with it and my external hard drive to cover things, you know. And I think, if I'm really honest, the majority of things that I do on my laptop, the bulk of the time that I spend on my laptop, it's on writing things for the site. It's on Twitter, it's in email, it's updating contacts and getting back to people, it's Facebook, it's game applications, and I would say that about 80% of my time on my laptop is that, and the other 20% are, you know, doing design things in Photoshop and in BB Edit, making pages and, you know, presentations. So the iPad is very appealing to me because when you look at the device, as far as what it brings to the Twitter experience, the browsing experience, both web and what it looks like it's going to do for magazines and ebooks, I think that it's going to be a great companion device. And a lot of people who have been using their iPod Touch to do that stuff are going to do it on their iPad. I mean, you saw the device.
Yeah.
And you've seen a lot of the coverage. What was your first impression as far as what it was touted that the device could do?
Well, I mean, from the look of it, I instantly thought it'd be like I actually thought it was going to be like an iBook, like a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a big enough screen that, oh, God forbid, you know, I've got enough money to blow into this and I could, you know, download, oh, I don't know, textbooks for school or So, I mean, I actually thought that's where they were going with that, is that it was going to be like a reader like the Kindle was going to be. Mm-hmm. Granted, I think it does. It's going to have that option.
It does. If it doesn't already. It does. If you watch the keynote, one of the things that they were showing off in the keynote was the iBooks store, where you're going to be able to buy books. And one of the markets that they are targeting is textbooks. And I think that that's going to be huge.
Yes, because instead of, you know, a college-bound student carrying around five really thick books, all they essentially would have to carry around is the iPad.
I mean, think of it this way. How many times as a college student, when you were going to get books from the bookstore, did you find that a book on your list that you needed for the class, they didn't have in stock?
Once.
Okay, so can you imagine, because when I was in school, the two semesters that I went, both times, hey, let it go, we'll move on, it's another podcast.
Don't worry, I've taken enough school for us to both have gone.
There you go, exactly, to go and graduate, be done with it. But both times that I was gearing up for books, I had about 10 books. I took a lot of lit courses.
Also went to fucking Brown University.
Let it go. That I had about 10 books that I needed that they just didn't have. And so I had to go to the library and copy pages from the ones that were in the lobby, in the library.
Books. Yep. Yeah. In there.
You know, and so the idea of being able to digitally go, oh, here's my reading list, and literally on the application on the device, flip it over and now go through and get digital copies of those books that you can highlight, that you can make, you know, audio notes about, that you can mark up digitally on the screen without doing any physical damage to anything.
We're going to stop harming trees.
Well, that's another thing.
We're going to save the rainforests. And pandas.
The rainforest is fucked. Just let that go. But I think that it's a huge market, and I don't think yet that people understand how it is going to shift what the face of education, at least in the collegiate level, is going to look like over the next couple of years.
They're going to implant chips in our brains.
I mean, you already have some schools that are requiring your seniors in high school, your freshmen in high school, even some places, have a laptop in order to participate in the class. And those laptops are not netbooks. They're full-on laptops. And those are laptops that are, you know, $500, $600 minimum themselves, if not more. Can you imagine issuing an iPad to get all of your books and reference materials, you know, as a requirement? So I think that there are a lot of people that look at the device and go, oh, it's supposed to be a netbook killer, but it can't do this and it can't do that. I don't think that it's supposed to be a netbook killer. I think that it's supposed to be an alternative. I think that it's an evolved iPod Touch.
And by upgrade, she means length and width. Not width, length,
and volume. And, you know, because
girth.
Anybody that has an iPhone or an iPod Touch will tell you that going through their contacts and going through email is fun. Writing them, not so much, especially if you have nails. But going through them, getting rid of things, just being able to have some things kind of tactily at your fingertips is a really nice feeling. With a couple of flicks, I can find information about anybody that I have as a contact on my device without having to go through 6 or 7 menus. It's literally a button push, I tap, start name, I tap, boom, there they are. I love that. But as far as browsing the web, that's not something that I do on my iPhone, just because I get really, really frustrated with pinching pages open and then moving around. And when I just want to move to a piece of the page, accidentally clicking a link. And so I don't browse the internet there. But if I'm presented with a screen that's now 9.7 inches wide, to do that both in portrait or landscape, that's going to be a much more enjoyable experience of browsing the web than my point-and-click interface right now for me with my web browser and my mouse.
Hmm. So, I mean,
I mean, that's as close to Minority Report as really I want to get.
So, I mean, that was, you know, that the book thing was really big for me. And then I think I was watching a clip of what gaming would look like on the iPad.
So there were a couple of things that they did that they showed off, I think, with gaming. There was the Need for Speed game, and then they showed off kind of a snowmobile motocross game and showed the pixel doubling. The thing that's really interesting to me about the iPad is that all of the existing App Store applications will work on it, which means anybody that has an iPod Touch, anybody that has an iPhone, when you get this thing and plug it into your computer, all the apps that you have on that other iDevice will then move themselves over, including your save information, to the new device. And you're going to be off into the races. So your mail setup, your music, your games, your organization, everything as you have it on your iDevice right now, it's going to be on your iDevice after that sync. I think that's a big, big thing. Okay, and I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking how simple the device is going to be to use, that how easy it's going to be to find uses for it. Okay, I can see Eshmom with one of these things.
I can't.
Well,
she would drop it.
Here's the thing. Look, there are going to be cases for it. There are going to be cases out the wazoo for it, just like there are cases for the iPhone. Okay, but here's how I can see Eshmom using it. So Eshmom's in the kitchen. Something's on TV, commercial, music video, whatever. With the size, especially her nails,
yes,
of the iPad, how much easier is it going to be for her to use Shazam? Which we all know, Eshmom uses the shit out of Shazam because she don't know the name of any song.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The map feature. It's not going to be a two-handed operation as opposed to a two-fingered operation.
Hell yeah.
Okay, a lot of your older users who maybe have hand tremors, and that has kept them from using iPod Touches and iPhones because they're not able to get a solid, good grip on it in order to use those features. Now they can because they're going to have a bigger surface area to grab a hold of. People that wear glasses and have any reading issues are now going to have a bigger surface.
And I have reading issues.
Okay, so imagine that screen in front of your face and now being able to pinch wide an area instead of being just 3 inches high, 9 inches high. So now you're going to be able to zoom in and actually read all of that little text that's in that contract.
Hell to the motherfucking yeah. Sign me up.
Okay. Email is going to be a lot easier on this thing, and it's only a pound.
Wow.
So that's going to go around a lot of different places. Me personally, if you haven't figured it out, I'm going to buy one.
Yes.
And I'm going to buy it, not because I'm an Apple fanboy, fangirl, but the reason I'm going to buy it is because it's going to make my version of event coverage a lot easier. I'm not going to be bringing a 15-inch MacBook Pro, an external hard drive, the Nikon camera, the iPhone, and a digital audio recorder.
Oh? Okay. No, you'll be just bringing the iPad.
iPad, iPhone, the camera accessory, because I want to talk a little bit about some of the accessories they've already announced for it, and my microphone attachment for the iPhone. That's it. That's all I'm going to need to write posts, to get images, to put them up on the internet, to even record our podcast on the go. That's huge. That is a massive savings for me, both going through security at the airport for the features I need it for. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of went off the deep end with the device. It's not for everyone. Just like a Bugatti is not for everyone.
A Bugatti? What-y?
Okay, not everybody needs a Mercedes.
Well, why didn't the fuck you say Mercedes?
No, not Mercedes. But not everybody needs a Mercedes. Okay? You might want the Mercedes. But you don't necessarily need it. You need something that can get you to A to B. Sometimes all you need is a Ford Focus.
Right.
Okay? So if you find the device that does and makes your life a little bit better in some of the things that you do, then that's a good device for you. One of the things that I don't like about the device is that there are so many models of it. I understand why Apple did it, because the pricing that they've come out with is pretty aggressive for Apple. The low-end guy that just has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, 16 gigabytes of flash solid-state memory, so it just turns on, will run you $499. Then they have a version at 32 gigabytes, which is $100 more than that, so $599, and then a top-end one at 64 at $699. But then underneath those models, for each of those price points with $130 more, in 90 days, you'll be able to get a version that has Wi-Fi and 3G capability with a month-to-month pay-as-you-go deal with AT&T, which that's a huge thing to be able to get Apple to do a cellular support deal with AT&T that isn't a locked contract is massive. Huge. But I don't like that you have to choose between Wi-Fi and cellular.
Oh.
Okay, you can either get the Wi-Fi version or you can get the Wi-Fi 3G version. The difference is, while both will have the map applications, if you want the assisted GPS stuff, which is kind of the way that the first iPhone did GPS things with the Google Maps application, then you have to wait for the version that has Wi-Fi plus 3G. The assisted GPS is only available on those models. It's not available on the Wi-Fi only models. And so that's kind of a hemming point for a lot of people if you're looking at this as, you know, this is what my navigator is going to use on our road trip across the country to get make sure that we get from Boston to LA. then you've got some thinking to do. But I think that there's a market for this device, and a lot of us hardcore users just aren't aware of it. Like, I think that there are far many more people that just need to get through their email, get through Twitter, maybe watch a movie or two when they need to be away from everybody else, traveling, whatever, little bit of music, and just want a better experience than carting around a laptop to do it. And if that's the case, then this is a very good device to do.
Oh my God, this would allow me to be antisocial at every family function for the rest of my life.
Exactly, without having to bring your big laptop around. This guy will sit right in your pocketbook and just whip it out and be like, oh yeah, I'm reading the paper.
Oh my God, I want one.
See? But for all jokes aside, I mean,
seriously. Oh no, I want one.
Let me ask you the question. Seriously, all jokes aside, if you had the money.
Yes.
You didn't even get to the rest of the question. But why?
Wait, does it have a slot for me to put my headphones in?
Yes.
I could turn it around like just a huge iPod if I wanted to.
Yes.
Then yes. I mean, I do like the idea of it being smaller and slimmer, which would be nice. I mean, granted, I like Tyrone. That's the name of my black MacBook, just in case you were wondering. I name all my appliances after men. I don't know why. But
yes, you do.
I do. Yeah, I do. Anyway, so I could be surrounded by men all the time.
Yep.
Anyway, so
I'm so sad. It's so sad.
But regardless.
Yes.
So, I mean, I would love to not have to tote him around everywhere. I mean, I shouldn't say
the majority of things that you do on your laptop. Like right now, if you're going to make the list, the top 10 things you do on the laptop, what are they?
Watch YouTube, send emails. I don't play a lot of games on my laptop. Type, you know, I write stuff mm-hmm. on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so YouTube, emails, write stuff, and movies.
There's not a thing that you've mentioned there that the iPad doesn't do.
Oh, and I also cure cancer.
Okay, it doesn't do that. And you're doing a really bad job at curing cancer.
But hey, it's
so you really should step up.
It's a long process.
Yeah, it's a non-existent process, so you might want to step up on that.
All right, I'm working on it.
Okay. Also killer for me is that because there are basically no new moving parts in this thing, on a full charge, you can get 10 hours. 10 hours of video watching, of YouTube streaming.
Shut up.
because there's no moving parts. It's a solid state drive, much like the drive that they use in some of the higher end unibody MacBooks. So there are no parts that move. It just is.
Yeah, but what does that mean? It never heats up or?
Oh no, it can get warm because it still has a battery. But there's nothing that moves in there. So one of the things that Apple's touting is that on standby, so when you put it to sleep, that you can get up to a month of standby time and it will still retain some battery charge.
Holy shit. Have they tested that or is that what they just assume? Yeah.
That's what they tested at.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think once it actually hits the market, and a bunch of people have this thing, including the douchebags that are going to be hanging out at the Starbucks.
Just like, oh my god, I was totally watching Conan O'Brien on my iPad.
Yeah, if you'd watched him on NBC, it wouldn't have been a problem.
That's
moving
right.
on. Team Conan forever.
Oh my god, you're really in support of Conan?
Yeah, but I watched Conan.
Oh.
And I watched some of Jay, and I just didn't find Jay very funny. And so I would switch.
I don't watch Letterman either, because I could give a flying fuck.
And now I just watch Adult Swim.
That rocks my socks.
But.
Go team Adult Swim.
Here's the bottom line. You know it's bad when Oprah weighs in on it and does a whole show about it.
Oh my god, poor Jay Leno. I thought he was going to cry, but then I realized it was just his chin was sad.
He does have a very sad chin. It's just a huge debacle. NBC sucks. Move on.
Just don't go to Fox because you're just committing suicide.
Yeah, Conan, don't go to Fox. Go to Adult Swim. They will totally, totally make space for you. And it will be like
go hang out with that Colbert guy.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that would be awesome if Conan followed Colbert. That would be the shit. All right.
See? Brain's always working.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh my god!
I'm sorry. I'm being mean. I am being mean today. But what it boils down to is,
I mean, who made a video?
Yeah, I know you did. You did. You did.
Who pretty much mastered editing in 4 hours?
You are totally the queen of iMovie. I give it up. I bow before thee.
Okay.
Who taught you it?
I know.
Okay.
But I learned it in 4 hours.
No. You're awesome. Here, I give you cookie and pet you on the head.
Yay!
Okay. What it boils down to for me for the iPad is, yes, it's a gigantic iPod Touch or 4 iPod Touches put together. That's not a bad thing.
No.
If the majority of what you're doing in your day is browsing the web and reading content there, maybe looking at some pictures and emailing and social media, Twitter, Facebook, and all those kinds of things, and you're carrying around a big, heavy laptop to do that now, and we're considering getting a netbook to do those things, maybe this is a better option. It may not be. If you are stuck on the teat of Flash, this is not the device for you because I don't think Apple's bringing Flash to any of their mobile devices anytime too soon outside of the laptops. I just don't see it because it's a huge processor whore. So I don't see that happening.
I have no comment on that.
So, and I'll be honest with you, I really don't miss it except for some of the websites that I go to that their whole focal point is Flash and so the entire site won't work. Hey guys, as a web developer, make a no flash version of your site, you bastards. But other than that, I'm not seeing a whole lot of downsides to the device. I can't wait to buy mine. But I have to. 60 days. It really pisses me off.
Oh my god, boohoo, cry me a motherfucking river.
Okay, hold on, I'll start crying.
You better. It's gonna take you a while to make a river.
So I'm gonna hand you the mic of 1,000 truths so you can talk about what you want to talk about, and then I'm gonna tie it up with Mass Effect.
Alright, well, since we've already kind of, you know, hinted and promoted our new YouTube channel.
YouTubes! We got the YouTubes!
And we've already seen my first debut video.
YouTube.com/Electric Sisterhood.
So I pose this to all of you guys out there, since now I am known and seen and heard.
Yes.
What would you like to see me review?
And don't say porn.
Yes, because that won't happen because, you know, YouTube has rules.
Yes.
So.
Assignment internets.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Exactly. Give me ideas. I mean, granted, I will have some of my own, obviously, because I'm gifted and just cool.
Is that so obvious? Are you sure?
That is so obvious.
Really? Who told you that?
But.
They lied. People don't
have to tell me. I just know.
Oh.
But regardless, oh, okay. I am a people pleaser. I want to make. Shut up.
Sorry.
I want to make all of you happy.
Don't. See, you just. All right. Yep. Go ahead. Sorry.
So.
Pandalicious cheeks on all comers. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that.
That's, yeah. That was me. Sorry.
So, you know, hit me up on the emails. Hit me up on the site, on my Twitter. If I get so many people with the same request, guess what? I will do it. And by the way, just so I can tell you guys right now, because I've already gotten a couple of comments about there not being a lot of cleavage.
This is not a flesh show, people.
Yes. But I understand. No. Since my topic was about boobs, I can understand where the this was understandable for this.
Okay.
But please keep in mind that, you know.
We're a class act here.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you see it, just pretend you don't see it.
And right. You don't need to call attention to it.
That's right. Don't.
Mostly grownish adults here. Kind of.
We try.
We can do better, people. But hate yourself.
Anything. You have. If I start getting emails with questions, who knows? I might do questions with Pandalicious, and I will, or advice with Pandalicious, and I will give you advice. I'll change your name, obviously, if it's a personal question, but I will do that for you because I am just that goddamn awesome.
That's Matt Damon awesome.
I'm nowhere near Matt Damon awesome.
Yes, you are. Although Matt Damon is pretty flipping awesome.
But, so, I mean, I will do that. I will do it.
I may do a video episode and actually let my Bostonian accent out.
I doubt that unless she's drunk.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Drunk.
It may happen.
Drunk. Oh, my God, drunk with Pandalicious. That would be so
We'd
much
get
fun.
Sued.
But the editing
we would
be would
get sued.
Wait, you can't get drunk on YouTube?
No, you can get drunk on YouTube. I'm just saying we'd get sued for what you'd say.
Oh, my God.
Because I know how your mouth works.
Pandalicious.
Oh, God.
I know who sucks.
Oh, God.
Get off that computer.
All right. So the game stuff.
Yep. Game stuff. Anime stuff, too. Don't think that I'm only going to be staying within the realm of games because I won't. This will give me an opportunity to talk about animes of yesteryore. Yes, I know that's not the right way to say it. I'd say it anyway.
Okay.
Of yesteryear.
There you go. Days of yore. Or
so
yesterday.
Anime, this is my way to revitalize the anime essence that was once.
You're going
to
bring anime back. Yep. No.
And yes, I'm going to try.
Okay. I will support you.
I'm going to try.
All right.
And anything geek related, if I go on a field trip, I will take my camera with video capabilities.
Are you still in junior high? I thought you were graduating.
What?
Are you still in junior high, a field trip?
No! But I mean, like, you know, if I go to, say, Anime Boston.
Oh, so if you go and cover an event.
Yes.
Oh.
And I'll do little viral videos of whatever con I happen to be
That's
at.
Cool. Viral videos are nice. Everybody just make sure you have all your shots. So.
Comedy, content, and I think I wish I had another C word there.
I got one, but I don't think.
Hey.
All right. I'll keep it to myself.
But anyway.
All right. We only got a couple minutes left, so we got to get this in. We got to get
this
in.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about Mass Effect 2.
All right. I'll make it real quick. I swear to God.
Like a Band-Aid. Go.
Ready? You got money? Buy it. Good. Double disc. Oh, my God. Make Shepard a woman. Just, you know, because. Pretty badass. Ship. Boom. Then dead. Oops. Not dead. Back universe, faster traversing, then there's the space jump. Yep, we've got Garrus back, and go. Oh, yeah, Martin Sheen does voice work.
So, yeah, did you just spoil Mass Effect 2 in under 30 seconds?
No, because I didn't give away the ending. I didn't even give away the middle.
Well,
like, the first 30 seconds of the game, after you pick whether or not Shepard is a dude or a chick and set up your appearance, opens up with the ending kind of the thing.
I get in trouble when you spoil shit.
I'm not spoiling everything. It's the first 30 seconds of the fucking game.
Yeah, well, the last time I thought I was only giving the first 10 minutes of a movie.
Well, 10 minutes of a movie is way different. Okay, so in the first 30 seconds, you're there, you're talking with Joker, all of a sudden the ship comes out of no place, blows the Normandy to hell, Shepard, like the badass he or she, depending upon what you do, is, gets everybody off the Normandy, is about to jump into a safety pod with Joker, who is voiced, by the way, by Seth Green. Again, kick ass. Love you, Seth. Gets him in there, ship blows apart, rips up, Shepard gets his back hit on this wall, and it punctures the air thing, and all you see is Shepard floating in space, suffocate, dead. And you're like, son of a bitch! Because if you played the first game, you know how badass Shepard is.
Yeah, well, I didn't get to play the first game, so I don't know.
You suck, move on. So, this time around, though, you see some things, you hear some things, and then all of a sudden you hear Lazarus Project, and anybody that knows their good book goes, oh, Shepard's not gonna stay dead? And then this video montage happens.
Wait, didn't Lazarus die but was resurrected?
Yes. And as is
Shepard... I just spoiled the Bible.
You did. You totally spoiled the Bible.
Oh, shit.
Leave it to you. He totally spoiled the Bible. Ready? And go. But it's like the first 30 seconds, and it immediately draws you into what's going to happen in the rest of the story. I haven't finished the game. I'm not even off of the first disc in there, but I'll tell you what, it's just as good, if not better, than the first game. The graphics look great. I wouldn't say that they're a marked improvement over anything that we've seen up to then, but it's still just as good. So if you got the money and you've got the time and you like choose-your-own-adventure games with bits of shooters, third-person shooters in them, you cannot go wrong with Mass Effect 2.
Is there any sex?
If there is, I haven't gotten to it yet.
Oh.
Okay. I've only been playing for a day, but it's been a good day. Awesome. But tell me what you think. Hit us up at questions@esh.mobi or check out what we write on the website. As soon as I finish the game, I will make sure to post it up there at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our show airing each week on Wednesday evenings on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com at roughly 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which works out to be 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you need something to do while you're working up to the 8:30 time to catch our show and maybe catch us in chat to talk about what we talk about on the show with you and kind of get that whole interactive thing going on, there are some other really great shows that you can listen to that are on the All Games Radio Network, like Dead Pixel Live
and In Game Chat.
There's also Bobby Black Wolf Show,
Gametopius, and
The Escapist Lounge.
There's Video Game Outsiders.
Chatterbox is still there.
I thought Chatterbox was In Game Chat.
Is it?
No, that's Evil Avatar.
Avatar became In-Game Chat. Yeah. Chatterbox Radio is still there. OLR is still there. Fantastic Forum is still over there. I mean, there's all kinds of great stuff that is at the All Games Radio Network. So make sure that you bounce into some of those guys as well. And if you do, let them know. I didn't say bounce on them. But you can totally do that. If that's your thing, go for it.
Go for it. Just
But also, we've got some of our own in-house entertainment as well that you should check out. There's the Boston Bastardgate Brigade, helmed by... Look, I'm drinking. I'm not even going to lie. There's also the Boston Bass Brigade, hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. You can find them at bostonbassbrigade.com. Their new podcasts go out every Tuesday. So if you want something that's a little game, a little raw, really Bostonian, you can totally check that out. There's a lot of sausage on that show. And it's pissa, so you should check it out.
It's wicked pissa.
It is wicked pissa. I'm not even going to lie. It's pissa. I love those guys. I do. If you're listening, I fucking love you. But then you can – I told you. I might let my Bostonian out, but just a little bit, and then I got to reel her back in. Then you can also check out new episodes of Geek Aggro, usually out by Wednesday, hosted by our very own Deuce as well. Who is the shit?
Hey, Deuce.
Deuce. Dude, we need to get him on the show soon.
I know. So we need another guest.
We do. We should totally get Deuce back on the show because he's a good dude. And then you can check us out on Twitter to get you through the rest of the week and some of the things that we write throughout the week on the website, covering the things that you love. Games, gadgets, video games, gadgets, anime, and more. Pretty much everything geeky. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasista.
And I'm found at twitter.com/ladyesh.
You can follow King Baby Duck at twitter.com/king_baby_duck. Deuce is Wild at twitter.com/deuceiswild. And Vicious Smith at twitter.com/viciousSmith. You can also catch up with us on all of our social media extranet thingies now. We've got the Facebook page, which as soon as we get enough fans, we can actually be facebook.com/electricsisterhood. So if you're not a fan of us on Facebook, find the Facebook group, become fans. Panda is the administrator, so you can find it. The one that I started that I never really followed up with, just don't become a fan on that one. That will just be confusing.
You did one?
Yeah, and I never did anything with it. I'll just move on. You can also follow us on Flickr. We've got that stream, flickr.com/electricsisterhood, and the YouTube channel, where videos created by me and by Panda and the rest of the Esh is going to be going on. And pretty much we're going to favorite every geeky video that we think is really funny that you should know about. So it's going to be a great resource. One-stop shopping for everything nerdcore. Okay, so with that, I guess I have to find out. Panda, you got anything that you need to disclose?
Yes, I do.
Uh-oh.
I have to disclose that my benefactor owns stock in GE, which owns NBC Universal.
Okay.
Well, and that I'm awesome.
Well, I will say that half of that statement is absolutely true.
75% of that is true.
Okay, I'll go with 75%. That's as high as I'm going.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have anything that you need to disclose?
As a matter of fact, I do. I currently own Apple stock. So I want to disclose that. So with
and
that
I'm awesome.
I'm not disclosing that.
Yes, you are.
Oh, and you can't make me.
I disclose that my YouTube video is awesome.
I will agree that your YouTube video is awesome. You?
I'm 75% in the video.
Yeah. Yes. But they're... you know what? We'll handle this offline. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are out of here, folks.
And I am awesome.
Have a great week.
Awesome.
So guess what we got for you now?
Clips!
That's right, some more of the interviews from CES.
Rack 'em up!
In this next bit, I actually spend a bunch of time with the folks from Razer. What's up, Glam? To take a look at some of the new things that they were announcing at CES, including their new controller that they're working on that will be available soon for the Xbox 360. Yes, Razer making a controller for a console. Kick ass.
Let's talk about the Xbox controller that we're going to release. So that's the first product that we're releasing for a console ever. We have a couple of cool features that distinguishes it from other third-party controller players. The first one is that the tension on the analog sticks is adjustable. So if you can actually turn this lower ring on the analog stick. If you turn it all the way to the left, it'll be a very loose tension on the analog stick. You can feel it for yourself. And
oh yeah, that is very nice.
Try to turn it to the right. It's a little hard to turn, but turn it a little more all the way to the right as far as you can turn it, and it'll get a very stiff. I think this one's turned to the right all the way.
Yeah.
It's very stiff. right? So, for example, if you're playing a racing game on the Xbox, you might want to have it as stiff as possible to imitate that steering wheel type grip. But if you're playing a first-person shooter game like Halo or Modern Warfare, you might want to have it as loose as possible so you can really aim fast and freely. So that's what we did with the analog sticks, and we also added two more buttons on the shoulder of the head of the gamepad, which is this left and right one, a multifunction button. And what they do is you can adjust them by these sliding selectors on the bottom of the gamepad in game, just really easy, and they remap the buttons on top of the gamepad to this position here on your fingertip. So say you're playing Borderlands, and when you want to run in the game, you have to press this down, right? And then you have to determine where you want to run to. With this one, you can just put this into position of the right thumb button, and then it takes the function of the running away from here up here. So you push this down, then the character is going to run, and you can just focus on where you want to go and don't.
I would die a lot less.
Right. Because otherwise, you're always really cramped up, right? You're trying to push this down, and then you're trying to.
Well, especially with my hands, you know, a lot of female gamers, we have much smaller hands. And so, you know, I used to love the old Xbox system because you could get a kid's controller, and at least that would be comfortable in my hands.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's really cool. I like that.
So it's all about customizing it as much as possible. So different gamers may have different likings where they want their buttons, so they can put their most important function of the controller right at their fingertips up here. The third major thing that we did is we brought the mouse buttons from our PC mice, the clicking feel of them, to the action buttons of the controller. So if you click on these action buttons, they feel somewhat similar to our mice button. And the advantage that they give you is that they're really fast actuation buttons, so you can have a lot more actuations in the same time compared to the membrane buttons that they have on the regular pad that you have to press down a lot, a long time. And at the same time, you get a feedback from the buttons. You feel it when they click, so you always know when you click the button. So it's much more direct. And we try to make it as much tournament grade as possible, so people can really pick this up and play on a competitive level with it. That's actually because it's wired too. The wire reduces the lag and it has you always connected to the game, so you'll be sure that the batteries do not run out and you're disconnected from your tournament gameplay that you're playing.
Now, it also feels a little bit lighter than most of the wired controllers.
Right. That is, there's no batteries in that thing, so that's what's reducing the weight a lot, and it feels, it's you can carry that a long time. The wire is going to be really long. It's going to be 15 feet, so you can sit on your couch and have your big screen TV, you're not right in front of it. You have as much range as possible. This is actually one of the four prototypes that we have at CES, the only four prototypes that we've ever made. So the final product is going to, in terms of quality of the finish, it's going to look a lot better than this, what you're seeing right here, but the shape and every function is going to be the same.
Gotcha.
So for example, we lit up this edge, so it looks like the razor green lighting on it. We're all about design and making it look as cool as possible. Also, an area of complaint was the D-pad on the Xbox 360 controllers.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are saying that it's not good enough. So we're focusing a lot on that. This one's actually, right now, you don't feel much of a difference, but the final product will be more towards the feel that you get from a PS3 controller.
Okay.
People like that a lot better, and we know that. So we're working towards that. We want to make sure that everything's perfect for that controller. The price point is going to be $49.99.
Okay. So in line with contingent controllers.
That's right.
So yeah, the Anza, holy freaking Jesus, is it sweet?
I was listening, but all I heard was that German accent.
Yeah, he was schmexy.
I could tell that by the voice.
But he also knew what he was talking about. He was very passionate about the controller, which is always cool.
He's German. He better be passionate. He's German.
But what I really liked about the controller is, one, it felt a lot more comfortable in my hands than the current Xbox 360 controller. It definitely has the Razer style. Even though it was a prototype, it was pretty fairly close to being done. And so it had the typical tri-headed serpent deal that is Razer's trademark, as well as striped down the middle was a green LED, so definitely for your night play, it'll look very cool. But what I liked, and he touched upon, was customization being key. You know, both of the thumbsticks, like he was mentioning, have adjustment dials, so you can actually make them more fluid or more rigid to your liking.
So either more soft or more hard, like German hard.
Gotcha. She said it, not me.
And, oh, they were all thinking it. They were all thinking it.
And being able to remap buttons below to the additional trigger buttons that they added. So it doesn't just have a single right bumper and left bumper. It has double right bumpers and left bumpers so that you can remap any of the face buttons, your X, your Y, your B, your A, to these buttons. Or even the click motion of your thumbsticks to these buttons is really going to make a lot of games much more accessible for somebody like me. It might, I'm saying might, okay, this is me saying might, it might make FPSs something that I can play on a regular basis. Who doesn't love that? And it's not going to be any more expensive than your current Xbox controllers. So hail to the yiggity yiggity on this one. Razer Anza. I'm looking forward to it. And also talked with one of the developers with Sixth Sense, which Razer is working with, to create a really unique technology, which I'm not exactly sure what and how it's going to look like in a product yet.
Now, how much extra work are either the developers going to need to do on their end in order to accommodate this technology into their games? And have you already started talking and working with any developers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Because I mean, our focus for, you know, 2 years has been developing a controller, but not just hardware, but the software that makes it easy for developers to use it. Because clearly, we understood that developers have really struggled with something like the Wii. It's very difficult to program for to the level of what users expect. People expect to be able to, you know, play all these games, and then if they can't do that when they buy the game, they blame the game developer, not Nintendo. And so, you know, they've been kind of frustrated with it. So we've been working very closely with them on a system that is easy to develop and easy to provide the experience that people are expecting.
Now, this was a little snippet from the demonstration that I got from one of the developers at Sixth Sense that was showing me the technology that they've been working with. And the demo that I got, they were actually using a prototype controller, which they haven't quite figured out yet if that's what it's going to be yet or not going to be. But they were demoing how you would use this controller and what the six-axis pinpoint motion detector would do for a game. And the demo that they were using was a special version of Left 4 Dead 2 running on the PC. And so if you can imagine the prototype that they were using, which I'm going to stress again, isn't the final product, was like a dual wand Wii setup. But the accuracy was amazing. We're talking to, you know, millimeters of degree of motion it would track. It would track through the body because instead of using line of sight IR, it uses magnetic fields. So it will allow you to, you know, do duels behind your back and really, you know, be very flashy with your gameplay. But it was spot on. There was no lag. There was no letdown. And so it should be pretty freaking cool. I mean, on one hand, you would use to actually control your strafe motion, while a flick of that wrist would then control your turn. Okay, both of the controller wands had D-pads on them, much patterned after, you know, the mice left, right scroll and up and down scroll, so that you could very easily manipulate at a very comfortable place movements with your thumb. So I hope that this product winds up actually getting to market. It is for PC only. I should say computers only. So they're not reinventing a Wii controller. They're not inventing a wand controller for the Xbox 360. This is specifically a technology for PC gamers. But to help them get a little more immersive, you know, and to bring in, I think, some of the console crowd to the PC who maybe want those faster rate times, but not necessarily the keyboard play.
I think I just like the idea of holding two big wands in my hands.